Hello, hello, and welcome. Love Wrestling. I am JPJ. He is Matt. And you know what that means? It is another edition of the War Report. A little different this week with TakeOver being the last couple evenings and us at Love Wrestling having live reactions to those, which you can go see on YouTube and Facebook. So please check those out if you haven't. Those were a lot of fun the last couple nights. So obviously, we'll be back to our normal schedule, hopefully Thursday release, talking about both NXT and AEW starting next week again. But since the last couple nights we've been doing the live thing and we haven't heard your opinions yet, Matt, on TakeOver, what were your general opinions of both nights? What matches stood out to you? Just in general, what were your thoughts on TakeOver?
Look, hi, by the way. I thought they were both good shows. They're not NXT TakeOver all-timer shows. I thought that was solid. Night one was the pick of the two for me.
I agree.
Walter and Ciampa stood out really good.
I also agree.
Dunn and Kushida, I think, left something on the table, and I think they did that for a reason. And if that's the case, then I'm happy with that. Wasn't necessarily overly excited about the result because, as I said last week, as we said in our prediction video, I don't know where Kushida goes if he loses.
Yeah.
Night two was decent. Balor and Cross was better than I ever expected it to be. I thought they told a really good story. The main event, while it was good, was just overly long for me. It sort of dragged. I like long matches because I'm a New Japan fan. But yeah, the nature of the match for me, it just dragged a little bit. Maybe 8 to 10 minutes off, I think, would have been primo for the story they were telling and whatever. And I think Kyle O'Reilly pinning Cole sort of didn't sit with me. I'd prefer the martial arts background to come in and maybe get a, you know, like a ref stoppage because he's unconscious type.
Yeah,
thing
something like that.
Yeah. Maybe a better fit for his style. But all in all, very, very, very good show. And yet again, WrestleMania has a lot to stack up against.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I feel like it's been a running tradition when ever since they started doing these takeovers, you know, the night before, obviously this year being a little different. There wasn't one at Mania weekend last year for obvious reasons. But I feel like that's a running tradition is, you know, whenever there's a takeover, whether it's the night before or the same week as the WWE main roster pay-per-view, they have a lot to live up to.
For
NXT usually sets the tone, and we were discussing it the last couple nights. You know, there's a certain expectation that has been set by takeovers because of how good takeovers usually are, and they usually always meet or go over that expectation. It's never really a disappointment.
Yeah.
So definitely, and I think WrestleMania, I think both nights are going to be fun. The build has been but I'm very super excited for WrestleMania. But they do have they got to step up to the plate and try to compete with that because the last two nights were very, very good.
Yeah, with Mania, I'm just excited about the simple things like a custom set again.
Yeah,
that's
fans.
A highlight for me. Fans, yeah. Real reaction.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to those simple things, but it'll be a good show.
Yeah. One thing I want to touch on before we dive into AEW, the general agreement of the last couple nights from the people that we've been talking to on the live reactions were – they kind of put some new stars at the forefront of NXT the last couple nights. You know, they've been building these people for a little bit, but like I thought last night was a star making performance for Bronson Reed, even though he lost, I thought that was easily the best we've seen him. And even in that loss, they elevated him to a different level.
Yes.
MSK obviously finally winning the tag titles. They're the new stars of the tag division, and they've been building them as so since they've been here. And then obviously with Raquel winning as well. Like, you know, you have those Kyle O'Reilly's. We'll see what happens with Adam Cole, but you have Gargano, you Ciampa, you have those guys that have been there for a while that are established.
Yeah.
And then they also put these handful of new people in those, you know, so we get the fresh new set of people to keep our eyes on as well. So I thought, you know, while the shows weren't perfect, they were very, very good. And I thought they did a really good job at kind of, as Triple H said on the media call after Tuesday starts that next new era of NXT.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job of putting some new faces at the front of that next new era. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they did what any sort of good, you know, TV show does at the end of a season. They put a stamp on the things that they need to put a stamp on. Mm-hmm. And yeah, with the move to Tuesday nights as of next week, yeah, it's a good, you know, they had two new world champions in Raquel and Cross moving forward. Whether that means people, as you said, like Cole and Balor, whether they go to the main roster, who knows? It'll be what it'll be. But Reed definitely showed up and showed out over both nights. I thought his performance on night one was equally impressive.
Well. Oh, yeah.
He was a surprise winner for me, I'll admit. But, you know, with the way he showed up again on night two and backed it up, against, you know, it's hard to have a bad match with Johnny, but
it is.
I thought he, you know, a man of his size moving the way he does, it's just impressive.
Yeah, I was
anything but.
Yeah, and we were talking about it with Mighty Joe last night, who joined me for the post show, and the one thing that got me, and I mentioned it a lot last night, was he does remind me of Bam Bam Bigelow, like a big guy yeah. like that is that agile and quick. Yeah. He's quick for a guy his size too,
yeah.
And they mentioned it multiple times. Vic Joseph mentioned how Bam Bam was an influence to him, and he kind of did the moonsault that Bam Bam did. Mm-hmm. I mean, he ended up missing it, which caused the end of the match, but he did the moonsault. He did the cartwheel. So it's very cool to see a guy that size be that quick and agile, because it's, you know, I feel like a lot of big guys we see nowadays do have that added agility. There's, you know, but I think it's cool that they referenced, you know, a guy that when I first started watching wrestling was a prominent guy back in the day, you know. So that part of it I thought was cool when you're talking about Bronson Reed as well.
Yeah, and I'm biased, obviously he's an Australian, so
yeah,
I have to say he's good, don't I? but he was definitely impressive. Even Indy in her match, she held her own, if not exceeded what I knew she was capable of. Mm-hmm. In the tag match. The tag match didn't appeal to me overly, but the Indy definitely had a coming out party too. So whether that, you know, leads to a singles run for her later on or not, I don't know. But with Raquel at the helm of the women's division, it's definitely a breath of fresh air. Like, Shirai was good as champ, but she was getting a little bit stale. Mm-hmm. Over 300 days will do that.
Yep.
It's interesting to see where they go from here, especially with the move to Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, I think at least with the very first show that we're going to see next Tuesday, it's going to be a big time show. That's the first night where all eyes are on them. There's no other shows, no other real competition to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think they're going to go all out, and it's not going to be a takeover, but we're going to get a supersized NXT Tuesday debut next week as well.
Yeah, it's going to be balls to the wall, that's for sure. And
absolutely.
You know what? Maybe one of those a month is good for the brand. Who knows?
I would agree.
So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive into Dynamite. We started off the show before the intro video. They show Inner Circle arriving. They're all in their special vehicles, you know, on the football field, and they got guys flanking them on bikes and stuff like that. Kind of very over the top entrance, but it's the first time we've seen them as a group in a couple weeks since the beatdown. So I thought it was fitting. And then we dive right into the intro video, and then we got a match right off the bat. It was Hangman Adam Page going against Max Caster. Max Caster doing the bit where he's, you know, he's rapping his way to the ring. He's very clever with his raps. I like the presentation of the Acclaimed. I do. I know Bowens is a little hurt right now, so it's Ben Caster by himself in the ring at least. But I'm glad Bowens is now back on TV, because I know he wasn't for a little bit, and it was really just Caster. But it started off hot. They got in the ring, and, you know, Hangman took out Bowens when he was trying to do his little hype up, and they started fast and furious. I thought, you know, the match was fine. It was a good match. I just like how they're consistently – Hangman did get the win. I just really enjoy how they're consistently getting Hangman wins. Like, he's not missing a beat. He's won 11 in a row or something like that. Like, they're making him look like a guy who eventually is going to be going for the AEW title again, and that's how you build someone. It's not just randomly beating the champion one week and then, oh, he's the number one contender. It's no, this guy's been on TV almost every week for the majority of the last year, and he's won almost all his matches. You know, that's how you build somebody. What were your opinions on this match and just Hangman's presentation and just everything in general?
Look, the match was solid. I enjoyed the match. Yeah. Max Caster needed that step up. I didn't expect him to win at any point, but when Bowens was continually getting involved, which did annoy me towards the end, because I think it was one too many interferences, I thought, oh, maybe he will, you know, sneak a win. But as you pointed out, Hangman consistently getting wins, and they kept on announcers, commentators, that's what I'm looking for, commentators continually kept saying he's, you know, number yep. two, rank number one, whatever he is. Mm-hmm. They continually kept mentioning it and mentioning it and mentioning it. So you know it's building to something, all these wins. Hangman will dethrone Omega. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I believe that's where they're heading. So that's however long it takes to get there, I think that's the end goal there. So
I think that's the key to all this. Hangman is the consensus pick to dethrone Kenny, and he's the one the fans want.
Mm-hmm.
I personally just hope they don't rush it.
I would agree.
Don't force it. Let it happen naturally. If that means waiting and, you know, trying to make it so that you get to as close as a full crowd as possible for that crowning moment, great. But if it happens naturally before that, let it happen, let it flow. He is the right choice.
I agree.
But yeah, I've got no doubt the Acclaimed will also continue to grow, and they'll be a top act in AEW for years.
I agree. I think, you know, they'll be a top act as a tag team, but both those guys eventually, when they go their own ways, will also be single stars as well.
Yeah, they're very charismatic. So
they are, both of them, very much so.
Yeah, like Caster does the rapping gimmick. It's cool. It is what it is. You either love it or you hate it. There's no gray area with it. Bowens, as you said, hurt, but his role as the hype man, I think, is really something that they can build off.
Yep.
And then, yeah, keep them relevant, keep them on TV. I think, yeah, solid opener as Dynamite normally does.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Dorite Man definitely won, 100%.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, it was National Beer Day on Wednesday when the show aired live. So, you know, he had the cooler and he was passing out, I believe, Excalibur called them, what do you call them, Pagewisers, I believe, or something like that.
I think he did.
Yeah, so he was passing. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can't win them all. But he was passing them out to the crowd and did his, you know, usual cheers at the end. So they kept that going. Yeah. They lumped in National Beer Day. I thought, like you said, right guy clearly won. They are building to Hangman eventually being the one to dethrone Omega. I'm here for it. Hangman has been in my top five wrestlers since eight for a while, for a long time, easily since AEW formed. So, yeah, I think that's the path to go, and I'm excited to see how they get there, because I think that whole story with them as a tag, that whole story's money. So, like you said, don't rush it. Just let it happen. The story's already there, so let them figure it out. Just let it happen the way it's going to happen, and that's going to be when it does get to that point, it's going to be a special moment when Hangman finally gets that, you know?
Yeah, for me, Hangman's been hot ever since he had that match with Jay White.
Yep.
I think it was at the Cow Palace for the U.S. title. Mm-hmm. That was when he really came into relevance for mine. He's just a natural fit in AEW. He embodies what they're all about as a company. Mm-hmm. He will be world champion numerous times before he's finished.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think his first world title, as we both agree, will come at the expense of Kenny.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. All right. So after that, we have Shivani in the ring interviewing the Death Triangle. And they announced that next week the Young Bucks will be defending the AEW tag titles against Phoenix and Pac, as they were the number one contenders from their Battle Royal win a little while back. And they are interrupted by Orange Cassidy, the Best Friends, and Chris Statlander. And Orange Cassidy says, "Hey, I'm glad you guys are all back. It's nice to see you all together again. But we have not forgot about what happened at Revolution. And you guys are going to. You're going to get it." Then we get, you know, Chucky and Trent both have their little words, and they say that, hey, they have the most wins of any tag team on the AEW roster. And I did love how Trent said that. I thought that was beautiful, the way he threw that in there, because that's something that I didn't even know. You know what I mean? So for them to add that in there, and then you do remember, because you know they have been a tag team for a long time, and they are a great, great tag team. So when they throw those little things like that in there, it just reminds you, and it reminds maybe somebody, you know, Trent was just out for months, you know, so it reminds somebody who maybe just caught on to AEW and hasn't seen much of them. It reminds them that, like, oh, okay, these guys have the most wins. Like, they must be great. They must be important. Yeah. And I just thought the touch saying whether you're the champs or not, like, we remember what happened and you're going to pay for it.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on this?
Look, if this leads to Death Triangle in any way, shape or form, whether it's, you know, the Lucha Bros or it's Phoenix and Park or it's Penta and Park, versus the best friends, I don't care. Give me that all day long, every day, 7 days a week for many, many weeks. That's fine. These two were actually heading, like, these groups were heading for a feud pre-COVID. And that all got ruined, obviously, because of COVID happened, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So if they're obviously heading back to it, and that's fine. If they get the tag titles involved because Park and Phoenix win next week, then cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as I stated last week, that again makes the rankings all convoluted because best friends, with Trent being out so long, aren't actually ranked.
100%. Yeah.
Granted, yeah, Death Triangle aren't either, but they earned their shot at Revolution, and that's fine. I'm cool with that. But yeah, if that's where they're headed, I don't think Death Triangle will win next week. But if that's where they're headed, then the ranking system is just becoming a real, real mess, and fans are going to lose interest. And they're not going to invest in matches or programs if this is where they're going to continually head.
Yeah, and I did like how before, you know, at the end when Pac kind of grabbed the mic and he was like, hey, you guys want to fight with us? He was like, okay, well, you have some work to do. So run off, go get some wins, go do some stuff, and then you can catch us down the line. So I did like how they at least mentioned that, like, hey, you know, you just got back, like, you got work to do before you step in the ring with us. So go do some stuff before you kind of step up to our plate. Like, we got other things on our mind. You know what I mean? I don't know if that would kind of intertwine with what we're talking about with them being out for so long with the rankings. Maybe they do get some wins back, so they do rise up the rankings, and then who knows when they finally meet. But I do agree with you with the rankings, and we'll talk about it later. I feel like tonight there were a couple promos and just a couple the commentators throughout the night. The rankings were mentioned a lot tonight. Yes. They usually are, but I feel like there was a little more emphasis behind them tonight. So definitely something with rankings we'll be talking about more as we go through the evening.
But just to finish on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Park and Phoenix versus the Young Bucks next week is...
That's going to be good.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that's going to be good. And next week's lining up to be... because, you know, this is their first Wednesday by themselves, too. So I think they're lining themselves up for a massive show next Wednesday, too. So I think, you know, it's as far as week one goes next week, I think we're going to be in line for some fun Tuesday and Wednesday nights now, because they're, you know, if they go balls to the wall, whether it's once a month, like maybe you said earlier, or it's or it's just every week, they're like, hey, we're the only game in town these nights. So let's just give them what they want type of thing. Like, the only one
I just hope neither brand falls into the trap that Vince fell into many, many years ago of we're the only game in town. I know the fans are going to watch anyway.
So it doesn't matter how good
my product is on the screen.
Yeah.
And I believe AEW won't fall into that simply because they're so new and they're so infant. I don't think they will. And I don't think NXT will either, because NXT has a track record of being quality. But that's always in the back of my mind. Please don't fall into that trap.
Yeah, I hope not. All right. Then we have the Inner Circle. They cut a promo in the ring. Jericho was on fire. Man, Jericho, he's such, and obviously, you know, he's considered by many to be one of the best to ever do it, right? So, like, they've been these dastardly heels for the last however long, and they come out tonight, and he cuts a babyface promo, and right from the jump, I'm bought in. I'm assuming you were bought in. Everyone's bought in. He can just do that on a dime. That's how long he's been doing it. That's how good he is at what he does. I thought this promo was amazing. He ripped on everybody. He called MJF his jerk off friend. Said the scarf, he stole it from him and it's a shit gimmick, and just kind of just ripping into MJF. He calls Tully Blanchard a third-rate Four Horsemen member. Says he was somewhere in between Ole and Paul Roma. Oh, my God. Tremendous. tremendous. He says that, you know, FTR is great. He puts them over. He says, oh, they're great. One of the best tag teams in the world, but I can't tell who's who. They're interchangeable. I don't know who's Dax. I don't know who's Cash. I don't know this. He calls, you know, Wardlow a big dumb idiot, says he needs to get completely naked to count to 21. And, you know, all these things that he was throwing they were just so, I was laughing my ass off watching the whole thing. I was just like, man, this is just so good. Just so good. He says that this was another good one. He says he only knows Sean Spears from when he called him when he got fired from the Fed. So the reference there, and he was on fire. They were letting him go. He said that he mentioned Wet Dream. He was just all over the place. But the big thing that came out of it was we're finally getting it a year or so later than we were supposed to. But on May 5th on Dynamite, it is going to be the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle, and we are getting that blood and guts match. How you feeling about this? You excited as I am? How'd you feel about this whole thing in general?
This was so good. It was funny. It was necessary. It made sense. It was amazing. Like, I watched the Fight TV coverage, so they came out before the break, and then they had commercial, and then they had the promo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see the Fight TV thingo.
I didn't see the Fight TV, but they did go. Yeah. So they did come out and go to commercial on TNT when I was watching it. So I'm assuming it was similar, but I didn't see the Fight TV stuff.
So the Fight TV coverage stays with them in ring, and Sammy Guevara does cue cards in commercial breaks.
Yeah.
That was funny. Jericho, because he's so freaking good at what he does, says to the crowd, look, 30 seconds before we go to commercial, I'm going to let you know. You're going to come on. We're going to come back, and you're going to be chanting the Inner Circle like you just did. And he was hyping up the crowd the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what a pro does. Yep. So when you come back from commercial, you see, and the crowd is just hot them.
They're already screaming Inner Circle chants.
And he hadn't even said a word.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, the promo made perfect sense. He gave fans a reason to invest and get behind them. And, you know, he apologized.
Yes, that was the thing. Yes.
For them being assholes this whole time. He apologized for that. I laughed. I had to laugh when he vowed to destroy the pineapple.
Yeah.
The Pinnacle.
Yeah. Not the pineapple. It's all right.
I laughed so damn hard.
Oh, man. It was tremendous. I just thought he was on. Oh, man. It was so funny. And it had, because they've been those heels for a while, it had been a while since you've seen this type of Jericho, you know? Yeah. Obviously, he still layers in funny stuff even when he's a heel, but it just comes off different, you know? Yeah. So when he's this baby face, smart ass, but in a good guy, baby face way. It's just, and he's always been great at it. Oh man. Yeah. It was just fantastic. I thought from the whole thing.
I'm glad that they finally pulled the trigger on Blood and Guts. I think this is the right two factions to do it with. Is it potentially a touch early in the rivalry? Maybe, but you don't want to run the risk of overstaying your welcome and the fans being bored or disinterested by the time you choose to do it. So they've announced it. It's in a month. You got 3 or 4 solid weeks. You can throw in a whole bunch of single matches throughout, which they're starting to do next week with Jericho and Cash, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some more thoughts on the other segment that happened
later on.
I've got some thoughts on that. But this portion of it, so good.
I thought so too.
The sense in the world. Jericho proving again why he's the master of just reinvention, albeit slightly. But he just proves again and again why he is widely considered on many people's GOAT lists because he is very, very good at what he does and has been for many years.
That is true. We then cut backstage. We have Dasha with Christian Cage. He puts over Kazarian at first. He says that, you know, people were shocked about how much of a fight Kazarian gave him last week, but Christian was not because he's known him for a long time. And, you know, they start to talk about what's next, and he's interrupted by Taz. And Taz says, hey, you know, a lot of people don't remember, but me and Christian go back a long way too. We've shared locker rooms. We've wrestled with each other, you know, so I know how good he is. And he gives him an offer to join Team Taz. And then right as Christian is about to kind of answer, Taz interrupts him and goes, no, I don't need an answer right now. Just sleep on it and we'll talk. And that was kind of that segment. So I don't know. It's assuming that his next, you know, in ring or whatever will be somewhat involved with Team Taz, which I'm okay with. That's a lot of, you know, I would love to see Christian versus Ricky Starks in a match. Give me that. Give
me that. Stop reading my notes, JPJ.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, all day long for that.
Yeah, and I'd be all in on all those guys. Mm-hmm. Hobbs, Kate, yeah, all right. Give me a Brian Cage versus Christian Cage match. Let him fight for the last name. I don't care. You know, I'm all in on that storyline if that's where they seemingly are going. You know, I know I stole your notes, but like, yeah, what do you, you know, I'm assuming you're as excited for the potential Starks and Christian match as I am.
Yeah, like it's obvious. Christian is not joining Team Taz. And AEW has a track record. They did it with Moxley and Jericho in the Inner Circle. They have a track record of making you think that even though it's obvious that they're not going to, they have a good track record of making you think that they are going to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we may head with this. It'll be totally different to the Moxley Jericho stuff. But if this leads to Christian versus Ricky Starks down the line sooner rather than later, yes, please.
Yeah.
If it leads to Christian versus Hobbs, I still prefer the Starks matchup. You know, Christian versus Brian Cage, again, still prefer the Starks matchup. But any of those three would be really good to follow up for Christian on the Kazarian match. But yeah, I'm all for Christian versus Ricky Starks.
That would be, you know, we don't need to rush it, but like if they wanted to throw that on Dynamite in the next couple of weeks, like, okay. Yeah. I'll watch that over and over again if you really want to.
Correct.
So then we had our Godzilla versus King Kong tag match, between the Jurassic Express and Bear Country. I thought this match was good. It was solid. It was a commercial break in the middle of it for me. So we kind of got that picture in picture. I like Bear Country. I've seen them. I'm in Massachusetts. So they, you know, wrestled a lot around here over the last couple of years pre-COVID. So I've seen them on kind of the indie circuits around here. They're two big guys who can go. I like how they've, you know, and they mentioned like I've said it here before, like I don't watch Dark every week. I've watched Elevation, but not live every week. So seeing them more on Dynamite on the main show is good because I feel like that's where the majority of AEW fans are going to see them. So I did like how they had mentioned that they were already in like the top four of the tag rankings, even though they were so new to the company. They've been presented very well. I love the masks they wear when they come to the ring. I think it's a cool, you know, aesthetic. And, you know, they controlled much of the match early throughout the commercial break, and then you got your Luchasaurus hot tag, which he is great with the hot tags. There was that one move, the running senton, where one of the Bear Country guys had the other guy on his back and he kind of ran over and flipped both of them onto I believe it was Jungle Boy in the corner. I thought that was a very cool move. Those are big guys, so that looked brutal. But all in all, I thought it was a solid match. I thought the right team won. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy Jurassic Express, they should be around that tag title picture. But I had no complaints about this match. Nothing spectacular, but solid as hell. What did you think?
Yeah, the build up and the promo for it was a little gimmicky, but it's, as you said, Bear Country is basically a tag team of Bronson Reed's.
Yeah.
Big hulking guys who are quick and can do things that normal big men just can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a fair chunk of them in Beyond when they did a lot of good stuff against the Beaver Boys, who, if you don't know, is John Silver and Alex Reynolds.
Cool.
So that's where they cut a lot of their teeth doing some really good stuff, and that's probably where they were plucked from, like Silver and Reynolds were. But yeah, this match was a lot of fun. Again, the right team went over, in my opinion. Jurassic Express are a really cool trio. You know, say what you want about Marco Stunt. He does what he's designed to do. Mm-hmm. If you can win over Chris Jericho, you know, in your role, then, you know, you're doing something right. You're doing what you're asked. And that's what Marco Stunt does. Granted, he wasn't there tonight, but both these teams will win the tag titles at some point.
I would agree.
I don't know if Bear Country's technically signed.
I don't know either. I'd have to look into that. I mean, it seems like they've been there for a little bit now, so I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't know if it's officially been announced or I haven't seen a graphic with them saying they're all.
I haven't seen stuff like
that.
The All Elite graphic or any of that, but
yeah,
if they've given them enough wins and they're hyping the fact that this is, you know, number four ranked versus number two ranked, then
you would think they're in the plans, you know what I mean?
They're well on their way, sure.
Yeah.
But again, right team won. Bear Country doesn't lose any steam by losing here. They've got plenty of time for growth. They'll continue to get wins on Dark and Elevation, so on and so forth. My only wonder out of this is where to in the immediate future for Jurassic Express.
Yeah.
They're number two, but they're nowhere near the title picture.
No.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And, you know, we'll talk about the tag champs obviously later involving the main event and kind of what's next for them. But I mean, they are number two, so they're right up there. They are literally right up there in the discussion for best tag teams in AEW. But it seems like I don't know. I would like to see them get to that number one contendership and win the titles eventually. I agree with you. I think both these teams are eventual tag team champions for AEW. Yep. But I feel like Jurassic Express should get there soon. I feel like they probably already should have been there at some point. But yeah, I don't know what's next for them. I mean, this is one of those wins where it was a good showcase. They got a big win, so like, let's lift them up and like keep them going. But yeah, I'm very interested. I agree with you. I'm very interested to see kind of where they go next. All right. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm just trying to see who the actual number one ranked tag team is.
Yeah, is it still Santana and Ortiz? I honestly have no idea.
I think it was SCU, but I can't remember. I think it was Kazarian and Daniels.
Yeah.
Yes, it is Kazarian and Daniels. They're 8-0 this year.
All right. Yeah. Well, there you go. So, you know, then that match, I know we're getting the death triangle next week because they won that, but then that match needs to happen. And then we need to start getting, you know, I know the Young Bucks are heavily involved in a completely different angle right now, which kind of makes the tag titles take a back seat, which I'm not too thrilled about, but
correct.
We need to start rolling because the tag team division in AEW is probably the best tag team division in wrestling. I mean, it's loaded.
I'm looking at the rankings here. The Bucks 2021 tag record, granted they're the champs, they're 2-0. And then you got SCU 8-0, they're number one. Jungle Express are 5-0. That would have changed. That's now 6-0.
Yep.
Butcher and Blade are 4-0.
Yep.
Bear Country would now be 6-2.
Yep.
And FTR are 2-0. So the only team in the ranking system to have lost is Bear Country.
So like all those teams, eventually they need to get those matches in, you know, and whether it's the Young Bucks or it's a new, whoever, Death Triangle, maybe, I don't know, but like, I would like to see, and again, this is no knock on the Young Bucks and we'll get into them, but like, this is no knock on the Young Bucks. They're the top tag team in that company. Like obviously because of the chance, but just in general, they're the tag team of that company. But like, I would like to see the titles more in rotation and more in just more matches for those tag titles, more teams getting the opportunity. Just in general, I'd like to see more of a shuffling of what's going on with the tag division.
Like with the tag division, this is one instance where the rankings theoretically more or less make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And like if they were to say in 2 weeks' time, we're going to have SCU versus Jungle Express versus Butcher and the Blade, the top three ranked teams. None have lost this year, and we're in April. Triple threat tag match, elimination, whatever you want to do.
Winner gets
winner gets a title shot. I'm more than happy with that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, that's just a good idea. That's a way that you get all of them involved, you know?
Yeah, because like you got the top three ranked teams fighting it out, undefeated three teams fighting it out. Bear Country just lost to number two, and FTR is involved in the blood and guts thing, so you just exclude them, which is fine. But yeah, the tag titles, it's a weird situation. The tag division bats real deep, deep.
Oh yeah.
But it's sort of, I don't know, it's sort of stagnated ever since the Bucks beat FTR. It's odd.
Yeah. I would agree there. All right, I will let you start and take the reins on this one. What did you think about the QT Marshall promo that we saw next on here?
I loved it.
I did too. Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought that was the best he's been presented since the beginning.
It didn't overstay its welcome. That's the promising thing. If they had to let him drag on and ramble on, it probably wouldn't have hit as well. But it was short, it was sharp, and it was factual.
It was. He talked about how he's been mistreated by Cody and that Cody had this narrative that, you know, he kind of carried QT along with him while QT's been doing all the real work for AEW. He did some digs talking about the time he wore a face that had to wear the Stardust face paint. He talked about that. What was the exact thing he said? That even though he was known as Dusty's kid, Cody knew that he wouldn't amount to shit. I thought that was a good one. And then he said, and while you surrounded your, I'm going to forget the term, but he said, while you, was it vanilla midgets? Is that what he used?
Well, you went to the Indies and surrounded yourself with vanilla midgets.
Yep. Yeah. He said he surrounded himself with real men. And then he talked about Solo. He talked about Anthony Ogogo. And I liked how Anthony Ogogo got a little speaking part, which we find out he's debuting on Dynamite next week.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved Ogogo saying, like, this is shitty America now, and you filthy Yanks are gonna find out why I'm considered, you know, a hero and a real deal in England where I'm from and stuff like
that. I thought he was royalty over there.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I thought, you know, it was a small snippet from him, but I thought it was good. I liked how they showed him kind of boxing and doing his thing over him talking. Yeah. And then QT finishes it. He says, this is my effing factory. And then you had Nick Comoroto throw the paint over the logo. I agree with you. I thought, you know, it was timed perfectly. I thought QT, I liked how he didn't get angry. He sat there. He was calm, cool, collected, just saying, like you said, facts, just true stuff about that. I thought it was very well done. I really, really enjoyed that. And I'm excited for the three guys that are with them, because I think those are the guys that are actually going to get the real rub out of this those three guys. And and we talked about it last week, that Nick Comoroto, he looks like a guy right out of the 80s, right out of the 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. I'm excited for those three guys. I'm excited to see Ogogo in the ring next week and see what he's about. I did like how when he talked about Solo, he said he's not just somebody's boyfriend. I'm sorry. That was a nice little, you know, because most people probably only know him as being Bayley's boyfriend. I had no complaints. I really, really enjoyed this segment with them right there. Yeah. We then cut to Tony Schiavone on the ramp once again. I wrote in my notes, I said, you know, Schiavone said this never gets old.
Yes, well, it does.
Yeah, to me, and I can see you agree, to me, it is getting a little old. And this is
my first line in my notes here, JPJ. The Sting and Tony Schiavone interviews are getting old fast.
Yeah, mine says never gets old, Tony says. It is to me. That's what I wrote. Obviously factual. Obviously not a knock at Sting. We all love Sting. Mm-hmm. He's one of the all-time greats, but it loses its luster when it's literally every week, every week. Mm-hmm. I thought at least there was some substance to this one. There's been weeks,
this week, at least.
Exactly. Like there's been weeks where they've introduced him. He's come out and then literally he hasn't said a word because he got interrupted and then it's over. At least there was a little more, like you said, it made more sense. There was a little more back and forth. Sting is immediately interrupted by Jake Roberts. And then Lance Archer comes out and he kind of says what he's been saying the last few weeks, you know, you're not going to talk. This is my time. I'm sick of the start and stops. I fight for the title. Then I disappear. Then I come back and I get another, you know, couple weeks in the spotlight. Then I disappear and all this. And then Sting takes the mic from him and says, yeah, if you'd pipe down and let me speak, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And Sting says, I agree with you. You are a main eventer. You are a murder hawk monster. And then he starts yelling at Jake, show him the way. You should be teaching him how so he doesn't disappear. And you can see in Archer's face that he's shocked that Sting is saying this. And Jake is kind of dumbfounded. Like they don't understand, like, oh, what? Like you're agreeing with what we're saying? And that's how it ended. Sting yelling at Jake saying, hey, like, get this guy under control and like show him how to be the star that I agree that he is. Not something you see every day in a promo, you know, everyone, I'm assuming they're still going to end up with the Sting and Murdoch match at some point. I mean, but maybe not now, you know, maybe it was just a pep, I don't know. But what did you think about this as a totality?
Yeah, look, when they announced or said, oh, it's another Sting and Tony interview, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Joy to the world. But the fact that Archer came out, I like Archer's promos.
Yeah.
For me, he doesn't need Jake anymore.
I would agree. For someone, and again, I know he was in New Japan for a while and in other companies, for someone who's really the most extensive work of Archer I've seen has been on AEW.
Yeah, he did some good stuff in TNA as Lance Hoyt, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But being in Japan, he never had to speak.
Yeah.
Him and Davey Boy Smith, they were just this tag team that beat up the Young Lions and spat water on the crowd.
Yeah.
And Minoru Suzuki did all the talking, but he can speak. His promos are always good.
And I think that's the thing when it comes to me, right? So for someone like me who hadn't seen a ton of him until AEW, when they paired him up with Jake, I was like, okay, this is the rub of a legend. Mm-hmm. And then it just in my brain, I'm like, oh, maybe he's just not a good promo. So Jake can still talk. That's what they're doing. But then over time, you see the promos with Lance Archer. And then, like you said, you're like, oh, no, he can talk for himself.
Yeah.
So at what point does Jake do something else? Because I feel like I agree with you. I feel like he doesn't need Jake anymore. He can just prove his point with his own words and his own actions. You know,
I think over time, Archer might tell Jake to piss off because we saw a little bit of that on this week's show. We saw Archer basically tell Jake to shut up.
Yeah.
I'm talking. Let me speak.
Yeah.
Whether that's a natural progression to them splitting and then Jake goes off and finds someone to combat Archer. Cool. If that's the way they want to go, then I'm fine with that.
Yep.
But I agree. Archer should be a main eventer or at least a championship challenger slash holder. What I would personally do coming out of this, have Archer sort of get in Sting's good graces, you know, Sting agreed with him, get a bit closer to Sting, then all of a sudden, you know, and get have in the meantime, have Archer get the wins up to get him in the rankings, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's Archer versus Darby. Archer destroys Darby. Goes back to the unhinged Archer. You know, Roberts is not there to tell him what to do. He's putting people through the freaking roof again. He's just this unhinged animal that's a champion. No one can get near him. That's what I think is a perfect spot for Lance. And then, yeah, you could eventually progress to him winning the world title because I think he's world title material. He's a big, athletic guy that can do the you know, the unusual things. But, yeah, the fact that, you know, as he said, world title match disappeared, TNT title match disappeared. It just, people lose interest and quick.
I did like how he did reference that in the promo, though. Like, I you know, because that to me is AEW knowing the fans aren't stupid. Yes. You know what I mean? Like them mentioning that, like, oh yeah, we know that we start and stop this guy a few times and we're going to make sure that he throws that in there and that he knows and he lets everyone know that he's not happy about it.
Yeah, they don't insult your intelligence. That's the refreshing one thing that they've never done. Yeah, very refreshing. They've never done that.
Yeah.
where WWE has a tendency to. Mm-hmm. But AEW, for the most part, they try not to. I agree. That's really good.
Yeah. All right. Then we had the TNT title match. It was Darby Allin versus JD Drake. This was JD Drake's Dynamite debut. I know he has fought a little bit on Dark too. He reminds me of a very, again, old school wrestler, like not flashy, not, you know, he's just in there, heavy chops, heavy strikes. He reminds me of a guy that would have fit in again in the 80s, early 90s, just that bruiser type. Yep. I've seen him locally in Massachusetts as well on the indie scene. He's very good. Mm-hmm. I've seen some very good matches out of him. I thought this match was solid. Again, I thought all the in-ring work we saw tonight was pretty solid.
I agree.
I thought this match was good. Ryan Nemeth, I'm sorry. Nemeth and Benoni.
I said Nick Nemeth, when did Dolph show up?
Yeah, I know, right? Jesus. Nemeth and Benoni were at ringside with Drake. A little bit of distractions to Darby towards the beginning of the match, and then Sting kind of shows up and runs them off. Mm-hmm. At least he runs Nemeth off. Darby has... Pants. Yeah, he did. Darby has one of the best topes, at least for my liking. It's just so violent looking through the bottom rope. He's so fast. Darby wrestles recklessly, which works for him. Very violent, reckless style. I thought
just on that. Sorry to cut you off. Just on that. Can we sit Shotzi Blackheart down for a lesson on this?
We obviously talked about it last night.
Yes.
I said the same thing. I said I understand she wrestles recklessly. That's her gimmick. That's her shtick.
Yes.
She's almost killed herself like three times.
Yes. But literally. This is a prime example of it can be done.
Yes. 100%.
Safely.
Yes. Shotzi has had some scary moments. But I agree with you 100%. But I think Darby is the perfect example of how to wrestle that way, but do it to the point where you're not putting yourself in harm's way at all. You know what I mean?
Or your opponent, yeah.
Yeah, or your opponent, true. I thought the cannonball on the Tree of Woe by Drake, when they had Dark, I thought that was awesome. I thought the near fall there was awesome as well. Yep. Then you had the Avalanche Code Red, which was just awesome, followed by the coffin drop, and Darby gets the win there. I thought, again, match was solid. Darby's a star. They make him look like a star. He is charismatic. The way he wrestles gets people behind him. And then, you know, there was a little bit of pandemonium, as they say, after the match. Darby's walking to the back. He gets attacked by the Butcher and the Blade and Matt Hardy's crew. And then they get run off by Sting and the Dark Order. So that kind of set up, you know, maybe some things in the future. I know they've been kind of intermingling with each other, the two groups, the last couple weeks. So,
well, they announced Hardy versus Allen for next week.
They did, for the TNT title. I believe it's Falls Count Anywhere as well. So that should be add some elements of Dark Order getting involved, Hardy's crew getting involved, some crazy stuff. I expect Darby to do some crazy shit in that match. So I thought that was pretty good. Then we come back from commercial, and that's when we see the second Inner Circle section of the evening with the Pinnacle. Jericho's backstage, and almost immediately he's attacked by MJF and the rest of the Pinnacle. They drag him out to the ring. He gets spiked pile drive by FTR, and you know the announcers are like, "Where the hell is the Inner Circle? Nobody's coming out to get him." And then we see that they were kind of locked and bolted shut in their locker room in the back. They start breaking through the door. But they can't get there in time. And then all of a sudden, here he is. Iron Mike Tyson comes out. He gets in the ring, starts going after the Pinnacle. Sean Spears was the guy that got the brunt of the strikes, which I didn't think looked that great, but they were okay. It's from Tyson. So it is what it is, but I thought he could have been a little more snug. I think Spears would have probably liked him to be a little more snug too, probably.
Yeah.
And then eventually the Inner Circle gets out there, Pinnacle runs off, and then they have the stare down with Tyson and Jericho. Jericho puts his hand out. They seem to be on the same page now, which pisses the Pinnacle off. They start throwing things all over the place. compared to the first segment, which we both agreed we loved. What did you think about this second half of the Pinnacle Inner Circle storyline?
The first part of this segment was fine because I understand that the Pinnacle wants revenge. I get that and I understand that. I don't need and I don't continue to want Mike Tyson involved in this. It's not necessary. It feels forced. It just, the program just doesn't need it. You know, you've got 10 extremely talented guys.
It's true.
Who are putting on this, going to put on this great program, and they're going to culminate with this first ever big match. What? I don't understand the need to get Tyson involved in this. Again, it just feels forced.
Yeah.
It just feels forced. And I didn't like his involvement, and he's involved again next week. And I don't need it. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. I get it. Tyson's still a huge name. I understand, but I agree with you. There's a lot of guys in this feud. There's 10 of them and they're all good.
Yeah.
I don't see why you have, you know, unless there's something at the end that's going to be like, whoa, oh my God, I can't believe what happened, you know?
Yeah.
I don't see why he needs to be there. Like, you can just have these 5-on-5 and them just tear each other apart for the next couple months. Whatever you want to do, you can do without adding Mike Tyson to it. I know Tyson and Jericho had the thing months ago when they were the heels, and now he's the good guy. So I get all that. Like, that's all fine and good. But I would tend to agree with you that while it's cool to see Mike Tyson around, cool, like, yeah, he's a big name, but is he needed here? Could he be doing something else? If you want to have him on the show, could he be doing something else, getting maybe a younger talent over or anything, you know what I mean, than being involved with these 10 guys who are pretty established and who are pretty well respected by fans? And like, we all like most of these guys, you know?
Yeah.
So I would agree. I don't think it's 100% necessary. I guess we'll have to see where they go to see how it ends. And then maybe we might think differently. But I agree. I don't really see where he fits in, like, in the grand scheme of this story.
At this point in time, it just feels kind of forced and shoehorned.
Yeah.
Like, the 10 guys involved for me are all quality.
I agree.
Like, Sammy's the future.
Oh,
he's like, what is he, 23?
23, like, yeah, super young, 22, 23. Like him and MJF are, you know, and there's a lot of them. Jungle Boy, we've talked about it. Like, there's a lot of young guys that are.
Exactly.
They're the guys. They're going to be around 10, 15 years from now, hopefully, carrying the company. Hangman in there as well. You know, there's a lot of guys, you know. Yeah, so
you don't need someone like Tyson shoehorned in this. It's a show that they cannot come out and say, oh, we did it for a ratings bump, because what for?
Yeah.
You know, the majority of people were watching the other show this week.
Yes.
Don't give me that crap that,
yeah,
oh, we were trying to bump the ratings, because it was never going to happen. It just feels forced and feels odd.
Yeah.
I just didn't like this portion of it.
Yeah, I would agree. I agreed with you in general. Like, I liked the beatdown. The beatdown was deserving. Mm-hmm. He had run them through the ground, making fun of them all earlier. Like, of course they want to beat the shit out of them. You know what I mean? Right. So, like, that part made sense. And then it just kind of got a little convoluted for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Then we see Britt Baker in the back with Shivani from earlier in the day. Again, now this is where she starts talking about the ratings, the rankings, I'm sorry, which I like. Yeah. She talked about the ratings a little bit too. But she basically says that she had a message for Tony Khan and that he should give the people what they want. And what they want is the doctor in a title match for the women's title. I agree. Mm-hmm. And then Shivani calls her and says, well, you're only number 4 in the rankings and blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, you know, I'm sorry that I had to spend the last 2 months making the women's division relevant. Like, that's not my fault. And she was like, you know, it shouldn't just be about the rankings. The rankings are stupid, she says. She says that, you know, being a star and demographics and merch sales should go into it too. And that she's the top star of the women's division and she needs to be in that world title picture. And I agree. This is another thing where I have a small complaint with the rankings because I don't know how Britt Baker, A, isn't the champion already. But if she's not the champion, which she isn't, how is she not the next person in line for, like, she is the star of this division, 100% in my eyes. And yeah, she needs that title. She should be carrying that title and carrying this division with all this good female talent that they have showcased very well lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's time for Baker to get that title. And I like this interview, her calling Tony on his shit and like saying like, hey, like, let's go. Give, this is what I want. This is what the people want. Like, make it happen. Screw the rankings. Just make it happen. What'd you think? Yeah,
one thing I've liked ever since Baker has turned heel, I've really enjoyed that she's become one of those heels that, as I stated earlier, speaks facts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing worse as a fan than when a heel speaks facts. But she's not a normal heel. People still gravitate towards her.
Yeah.
And one of the facts she spoke, as you said, the fans want and need her to be champion. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. I would agree.
Like, everyone stated that Baker versus Rose's feud should have been the world title feud.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been happy with that.
Yep.
Granted, their lights out match was unsanctioned. So you can't have a title match unsanctioned, based technically. So I was fine with that portion of it. But while Sheeta is very good, Baker is equally as good.
Oh, yeah.
And if you had told the majority of wrestling fans that when she was the number one signed woman, when AEW was built, people would laugh at you.
Yep.
Yep. People laughed then, and yeah, they just laughed.
Yeah. I didn't know much about her when they signed her. I knew who she was. I went to All In, so I saw her in that four-way, which was a great match. But I didn't know much about her. So when she was the first signing and they hyped her up big time, I wouldn't say I was one of the ones laughing, but I was kind of like, okay, like I just don't know much about her. But yeah. Fast forward now, you know, a year and a half later, and in my eyes, it's not even close. Like, she is the star of that division. Like, yeah. And you know, there's a lot of other good talent, but to me, she's far and away at the top of the mountain there.
Yeah.
And the sooner she gets the title, the better, because she should be leading the way with that belt, you know?
Yeah. And I think AEW as a whole is a better place when they have heel champs.
Oh yeah.
I don't necessarily see Omega as a top heel. For me, he's a forced heel.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho as the initial champion of AEW for me was when Dynamite was at its best, because I think the show ran better as, you know, people like Cody and that chasing Jericho, the shit heel. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the AEW women's division probably needs to be at right now. Baker would be that shit heel.
Yeah.
Similar to Triple H in the 2000s in WWF, same deal.
Yep.
That's where I think it needs to be. But I really like with these promos, not only is Baker elevating Dark and Elevation, but
she's putting
herself over.
Yeah,
she puts herself over. So it's a triple whammy with these. She does them really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. The sooner the better that she gets the title.
100%. Then we went into a ladies matchup. We had the Bunny going one-on-one with Ty Conti, who was joined by Bunny was joined by Matt Hardy and crew. Conti mm-hmm. was joined by Dark Order. Negative One was there. I thought this match was good. There was a commercial break in the middle of it for me, so I didn't, you know, the picture-in-picture you focus on, but it's kind of it's hard sometimes to pay attention to every little thing that's going on there. But Bunny controlled early as they went to the break. When we came back from the break, Conti started taking control. I thought Conti, her kind of like over the top judo Irish whips, I think are awesome. They look fast and violent. She also had like, it looked like she was setting her up for a judo throw and then turned it into a backbreaker, which I thought was very cool.
That's part of her regular arsenal. I really enjoy that move. It's cool.
Yeah, very good. And then, you know, it kind of started to break down towards the end. Dark Order and Hardy and crew started getting at each other on the outside.
Yeah.
And then Bunny grabbed the kendo stick like we saw the week prior, which we had issues with Ty Conti taking the pinfall last week. She then gets kind of halted off by Sheeta, who was at ringside awkwardly with Dark Order for some reason. And that part I didn't get. I understand that Conti's the number one contender, but it just seemed odd that Sheeta was there as well. And then she hits the DD tie and she gets her big win back. I enjoy that she got her win back. I don't think we were in agreement that we didn't like her losing last week.
No,
so I'm glad she got the win back. And she, you know, she's still the number one contender. So that's the next match we're going to see. I'm all for it. I wouldn't mind Conti maybe taking the title from Sheeta. I think, yeah, it depends. I know Conti's, you know, the build has been through Elevation and Dark as well, but it's kind of newer to the Dynamite audience. But yeah, I'm all for new blood, new stars. And like Conti, at least the matches we've seen the last 3 weeks, she's good and she's getting better every week, it seems. So yeah. What'd you think about this match and just, you know, the direction they're going here?
These ladies got a fair chunk of time, to be fair, considering the slot they were in. This is normally the death slot for the women on AEW, but they actually got a chunk of time, and I actually really enjoyed the match. The end of it where it broke down was sort of a bit, again.
Yeah.
I didn't need that for the second week in a row. Bunny or Ali, whatever you want to call her, she showed why AEW sought her out and why she is a former Impact Women's Champion.
Yeah,
because this was a really good showcase for her, and equally Conti showed how far she's progressed and continues to progress since she's come over. She is leaps and bounds ahead of where I ever thought she would be.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing her on NXT, and it was like, it doesn't even look like the same person when you watch her now. You know what I mean?
On NXT, she fell into the Aaliyah category for me. I was like, okay, she's been there for a while, but she hasn't really done anything. But I don't know. Some people progress differently in different environments. The performance center, just training environment probably wasn't, you know, her way of learning, where things like Dark, you know, you're still taping the show, and still having actual matches is maybe a better way for her to progress. And it seems that that is the case, and which is fine because she's become a real integral part of this division. I see Ty, a big player moving forward, and a Jay when she comes back is going to be a big player moving forward. Baker, obviously. If they don't sign Rosa, that is the biggest stuff up that they've ever, ever, ever made. Not only because of what she brings in ring, but the amount of talent she has coming through the doors at not only Dog Pound Dojo, but also out of Mission Pro. That we see on Dark regularly, the Jasmine Allures, the Maddie Rankowskis, the Vert Vixens, so on and so forth, that will help enhance and build that division moving forward. And I think that's necessary to their success moving forward, because they've showed the women's division really well over the last, you know, couple of months. But yeah, I wouldn't be angry if Conti took the title off Sheeta. And Britt beat her for a double or nothing. I wouldn't hate that at all.
And then you can all, you know, I know they had the big no holds unsanctioned match, you know, a couple weeks ago, but like when Britt finally gets that title, whatever route they go, like people are going to be clamoring to see her and Thunder Rosa again for that title. Like that is, man, you know, so it's like,
well, they're one on one. There has to be a trilogy somewhere.
100% And if it's for the title, even better. It just adds more to the story that they've already told pretty brilliantly. Then we get some, I know we've talked a lot about it, but we got some promotions for next week. We talked about Allen and Hardy, Young Bucks and Pac and Phoenix, the Agogo debut. One match that they added, we are going to see a one-on-one match, but with Red Velvet and Jade Cargill, which I'm looking forward to. Red Velvet cut a little bit of little promo. She said, you know, if Jay Cargill swears that she's that bitch, then next week she better prove it. And, you know, cause Red Velvet's out there to prove that she's not. I thought it was a little, you know, it was quick, it was sweet, but you know, I like both these girls, Red Velvet and Cargill. We've talked about it. Cargill looks like a huge star. But I'm excited to see the one-on-one with them too. I think that should be hopefully a good showcase for both of them.
Yeah, I just fear for 50-50 booking in this.
I think I think this is one of those things where Cargill just needs to win, and she needs to win and kind of go up where she needs to go, and then Red Velvet can build herself back up. you know, yeah, through other things, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then we get the main event of the evening. It was Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers going up against Moxley and the Young Bucks. I thought this match was as good as you would expect from these six guys. Nick Jackson, when he gets that hot tag or he's doing one of his fast-paced sequences, there are a few better. The stuff that he does, that guy, if they ever decided to do single stuff, that guy could be a future AEW world champion too. I love Matt a lot, but I think from an in-ring perspective, Nick is just, he's one of the tops in the company, and he could be a single star if they ever went that route. Yeah. He's fantastic. I thought we see it every match from them, but I thought him, some of the sequences he was doing tonight were just awesome. Mm-hmm. The real story of the match kind of unfolded towards the end. The Young Bucks had a chance to hit the BTE trigger a few times on Omega, and they were hesitant, looking at each other like, this guy's still our friend. Like, we still care about him, which infuriated Moxley. He was yelling and screaming from the thing. And then he kind of violently tags himself in, and he gets in and he hits multiple paradigm shifts on Omega, starts to choke him out. The Bucks are trying to stop him like, hey, calm down, calm down. Mox is being Mox, and F you, I'm not. Nope. And then they super kick Moxley. And then you see Eddie Kingston kind of limping his way down. He gets attacked by the Good Brothers. They hit a magic killer on the ramp to Kingston. Then they get in the ring after Moxley's been taken out by the Bucks. They hit a magic killer on Moxley. And then Omega, who's basically unconscious at this point, they just drag him over Moxley. He gets the 1-2-3. And then we see Callis come off. Callis was on commentary, as he has been routinely for Omega's matches lately. He gets in the ring. We kind of have the Elite back together a little bit, and they're staring at each other. The Good Brothers kind of hold Moxley up and kind of show the Bucks like, hey, prove it to us that you're with us. Like, do it. And you can see the Bucks looking at each other. They're hesitant. They don't really want to do it. And they end up double super kicking Moxley. And then we kind of go off the air with Omega trying to do the two sweep, but Matt Jackson kind of being like, no, let's just hug. Mm. And they hug and go off the air. It looks like the Elite or the Super Elite is back together, but it still showed some hesitation from the Bucks. But I think that was the real story of this match. The match was very good. What did you think about everything that kind of unfolded here?
Yeah, the match was solid. It was good without being great, if that's what you want to say. Look, with the caliber of six guys in the ring, I don't really think Gallows is anything special, but the other five guys in this match are very good. Mox is box office.
Oh, man.
Every time he steps into the ring, he demands your eyes. The Bucks, I love them as a tag team, but you either love them or you hate them, or you tune in to see them lose. Yep. It's one or the other. Carl Anderson is supremely underrated.
Oh, very good. Very good.
He has been and could be again a single star.
Yep.
If they choose to go that route. But as you said, the aftermatch was what this was all about. I still don't know where they're headed with this, and that's what's keeping me interested.
Yeah.
There are numerous routes they could go. It all depends on what route they choose to go. What I would personally like to see is Kenny and the Bucks as the Elite dismissing the Good Brothers. Yep. Piss off back to Impact, bugger off. And then have those three on TV ruling the roost for a while. And, you know, wherever they progress from there, that, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
One thing that still concerns me is Double or Nothing is in May. We're in April. We have no idea, or we're no closer to knowing, what the world title match or even world title picture looks like.
Yeah.
That is a concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it seems like to me that the last match that Omega and Moxley had should have been the finality of that feud. Right.
But due to the dudness.
Yes. But due to the dudness, which we had mentioned last week or the week before, due to the dudness of what happened, They've prolonged it, which I'm not against. I mean, like you, Moxley is special. And mm-hmm. He's just, ever since, you can tell that he's just really loving what he's doing now. And yeah. I don't know if you've seen the Bloodsport match that he had yesterday or no, anything like that. Yeah. He's become, I think a lot of people knew he had it in him, but he's become that special, like he's must see no matter where he is. You know what I mean?
It's funny. Everything he told people he could be when he was in WWE, and they're like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, whatever. You're bringing hot dog carts down here. What the hell are you talking about?
But now he is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I agree with you. And, you know, Omega's fighting for the Impact Championship at their pay-per-view, too. So, and a lot of people think that Omega's going to win that. So I don't know who's that next guy that fights him, especially now, you know, unless they run it back one last time and they do Omega and Moxley again. But I don't know if they're going to do that. From what I got tonight, I'm hoping that it leads to Kingston and Omega. That's what I want at Double or Nothing. I want Omega. I want the Young Bucks defending those titles against Kingston and Moxley. That's what I would like. Again, this throws the rankings into it because obviously they're not ranked. So I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't like the tag titles still on the Bucks if they just do like a street fight or something not involving the titles. Yeah. But that's the direction I see it going now because the Bucks made their decision tonight to take out Moxley. And I'm all for that. We've said it before numerous times, like Moxley and Kingston with the tag titles is something I'm very much behind.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would agree with you. I don't know who that next person is. You know, we both have said it's going to be Hangman eventually, we think, but not now. Not now. You got to get to there still, you know? So like, who is that guy that steps up to the plate in 6 weeks and Labor Day weekend or whatever it is, whenever they do that Double or Nothing show, who is that guy? I honestly don't know either. From the, you know, and again, they are infant, they are newer, but they have a track record in their infancy that I believe they'll get somewhere and it will be enjoyable wherever they go. Yeah. But I have I can't even guess somebody who it would be.
Yeah. Look at Double or Nothing last year. Brody Lee came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And was him and Moxley, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He came out of nowhere. He stole the belt and took it, you know, and had it until the match. Moxley only got it back when he won. Mm-hmm. And that was a good match.
Oh, that was a very good match. Yeah.
They had Brody Lee pick up wins along the way. They made it so that by the time match came, he was ranked number one. Mm-hmm. So that made it make sense. So yeah, you're right. They've shown a track record of doing these things, but I honestly don't see who they could pick to put in that position.
Yeah, I don't either.
I really don't know. Everyone's sort of involved in something or.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that sticks out to me too, is like, even if you try to think of like, you're like, oh, maybe it's Lance Archer. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that, maybe it's whoever.
Yeah.
Omega is so involved in this storyline with Moxley and the Bucks and the Elite and all this that, like, are you going to, I don't know how you intertwine somebody new or fresh into this storyline that has been so involved with these guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't
know. The only thing I can think of is, you know, just for a minute, throw the rankings out the window, bugger off, whatever. You have Kingston and Mox go against the Bucks, you know, tag titles, non-title, whatever. Is there someone that Kingston and Mox
can it sort like bring
of,
in?
Yeah, sort of like traveled with on the road or had in their little clique when they were on the indies that could potentially come in,
maybe
and lose to Omega? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't either. That's an outside the box sort of thinking whether. Omega goes to, he's going to Impact and he's going to challenge for their world title. Is Rich Swann going to come to AEW at Double or Nothing and Omega for the AEW title? We don't know.
Yeah, you don't. That wouldn't be a bad, I mean, you know, Omega wrestling on Impact shows, obviously the Good Brothers are technically Impact talent, so we've seen them basically weekly. But other than that, we haven't seen a lot of Impact crossover on Dynamite. So maybe that is it. Maybe it is Swan coming back and saying, hey, I want a rematch, whatever. Or maybe it's that, or maybe it's somebody else from I don't know, but they're going to have to kind of figure it out soon. Cause if they, you know, you got to have a world title match at one of your main two pay-per-views, and Double or Nothing is one of their big two with All Out or All In, whatever, you know? So yeah, we're going to have to see where they go. Yeah, I mean, I would love to even strike up a guess of who it could be, but I honestly have no clue. Like you, I don't know where they go unless it's just one for real, one last time, Moxley and Omega.
I have no want or need to see Moxley getting pinned by Omega again.
I agree. I would agree with that. I think I would like to see Moxley get back on track and get the wins that he, you know. He's 31 after tonight, he's 31-3 or something ridiculous. So like, you know, he wrestles a lot. He wins a lot. Like he obviously should be a title contender or in that top two probably all the time, but I don't want him to just be up there. So he just loses every time that he has a title shot now. Like that's not what I want. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
well, don't get me wrong. Moxley will be champ again.
Oh yeah.
And I hope he gets the run he deserves, because his run was good, but it was hard to judge because they were at Daly's place the whole time. Yep. There was no crowd for him. He had no reaction, so on and so forth. So he sort of deserves, similar to McIntyre in WWE, he sort of deserves a title run where he's got full-fledged fans.
Yep.
And that'll happen in time. You know, over in America, it's obviously, COVID's obviously still prevalent.
Yep.
See, whereas over here we're allowed, you know, crowds at sporting events. Like I went to a sporting event the other week and we were allowed 50,000 people. So
nice.
Yeah, it different places, different rules. Obviously the world will find a balance in time. And Moxley will find his balance in time. But you're right, Moxley needs to win, he needs to keep winning. People piss all over the fact that he appears on Dark and Elevation from time to time.
I like that.
But look at who he faces on those shows.
It's, yeah.
You know, you see Moxley on the bill, you're going to watch.
Of course. Yeah. That so puts gets eyeballs on the younger on those talent. Yes.
Happy days.
Yeah. That's what, you know, he's not only there to just be the star that he is. He's there to promote the, like he works for that company, and him being on those shows and fighting younger guys, or at least getting more eyeballs onto the show, so people see the other younger talent.
Yeah,
that is equally as important to the stories that he's involved in my eyes. Like I don't understand why people would think that him being on Elevation or Dark is a negative thing at all. Like that.
He wouldn't say it that way.
No, of course not.
He's come from a very structured system and borderline robotic, you know, sausage factory basically.
Yeah.
To AEW, where he has the freedom. He can go do the blood sports and his promos are unscripted, and you know, he gets to sort of portray the character that he's always wanted to portray. If a byproduct of that is him paying the company back by doing the occasional dark match against a younger talent that he's going to handily beat, you know, 9 or 10 out of 10 times, he has no problems with that.
No. I mean, why would you?
Correct.
It does. Yeah. I don't know. That's...
He's a student of the game. He gets it.
Oh, yeah.
If you hear him talk, he's a bit laissez-faire. He not much phases him. It's hard to get a lot out of him, but he wrestling is his passion. When he talks about wrestling, he has a different tone in his voice. It's the same tone as when he talks about his wife or his family or things that he loves.
Yes.
He has this tone where he's passionate, and if you disrupt or hurt any of those things, he will do some gnarly shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh, but yeah. So you can always tell when he's impassioned, and that's why his promos in AEW have, for me, have always hit so much harder than sort of 7 or 8 out of 10 of the promos he did over in WWE, because he was so scripted and sort of like a caged lion with a lot of what he said. You can just tell his passion comes out more. He doesn't sound as he's not robotic.
Yeah.
He's not robotic. He's very passionate about what he does. He wants the company to succeed. He believes when he was world champion, he believed that he was the world champion. And that's what you want.
I agree. Yeah, so that wrapped up Dynamite. I thought, you know, as most of them are, another very good, solid, very good show. I also like, you know, there was good stuff that happened throughout, but I, you know, they knew that they were probably going to be the show that wasn't watched by most this week. So they didn't do anything besides the Tyson stuff. They didn't do anything super over the top. I think they kind of understood what this week was going to look like for them, but they still put on a hell of a show, still continued storylines. Overall, I thought it was a really, really solid show, and I'm excited about next week and how things are going to be a little bit different with the Tuesday night NXT and now AEW by themselves on Wednesdays. I'm excited. You know, I think we're in line for some really good wrestling, which we've seen from a long time from both these companies, NXT and AEW. But I'm excited for them to have their own nights, their own shows, like differently. And yeah, it should be very good.
It's funny, as a kid, Christmas only came once a year, but now as a 35-year-old adult, Christmas comes several times a year.
Yeah, right. It's awesome. It's why we love wrestling, right? Because it makes you feel that way. And it makes you feel like a kid sometimes still. And you're like, man, this is why I've loved this stuff for 20, 30 years.
Being here talking about this shit with you also makes me feel good too.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's happy days.
Yeah. All right, Matt. What else you got on tap this week? Anything to plug? Are you going to be involved in any of the wrestling, right? Are you involved in one of them? Night two?
Maybe? Night two.
I believe you're going to be with me as well. Yeah, I think
we're going to
Mighty Joe. Well. Yeah, maybe no, Vanessa. I know. Yeah.
We might have four. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know you and I will be there.
100%.
So you get the franchise team on night two. We'll be live like 10 minutes.
Yeah, within 10 minutes after the show, depending on when it goes up.
So the main event of night two, the triple threat, will be fresh in the old up here. So
it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's where I'm at this weekend. Or it'll be Monday for me, but that's where I'm at. I'll be live post show night two. Got a Twitch exclusive coming soon. It's going to be a regular thing. Just working on that with good old Spenny. But yeah, otherwise I'm back here with your fine self next week, sir.
Sounds good. Yeah, make sure you are paying attention to what we are doing at Love Wrestling. We have a post show tonight after SmackDown. It's Friday where I am. So we have a tonight after SmackDown. We have live coverage and wrestling reacts. Both nights of Mania, like Matt just said, him and I will be involved in the panel on night two after the triple threat. That'll be very, very excited. Follow us, support us on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook. We got a lot of good stuff happening at Love Wrestling, and there's a lot of more exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. So thank you for joining us today. He is Matt. I am JPJ, and we will see you next week for the War Report.